time, come up and preach to us. Looking forward to hearing what you have.
Sir. Well, a quick update. A lot of things have been going on since the last time I saw you. We send out prayer letters. Hopefully, you're updated on those things. If you can pray for us, the biggest prayer request this evening is the same prayer request that was the last time. If you can pray for us, that the Lord would bless us with meetings. And also, if you can, if I can ask you a favor, you can help this thing out a little bit. If you know of a fundamental pastor and the Lord lays it on your heart, just mention him to me. Mention that, hey, you know of an evangelist. An evangelist is named Aaron Pratt. These kinds of things go a long way. This is the way that evangelists get meetings. It's by word of mouth, one person recommending a preacher to another pastor. So if you can think about that, pray about that, Lord lays it on your heart, you go ahead and do that. That is a way that you can help us out. We greatly, greatly appreciate your prayers and your financial support. Thank you for your patience with us. For whatever reason, the Lord has not filled up our schedule. I don't know that he ever will. I've not been given that promise from the Lord. But I do know that he's called us into the ministry of evangelism for the cause of revival in our local churches. That is the ministry that we've been called to, and therefore that is the ministry that we will stay faithful to. Well, since the last time that you saw me, we have moved out of the place that we were staying in. We were staying with Isaac White in a prophet's chamber there. Now we are living on 2nd Street, right in Jackson, Michigan. The Lord has blessed us with a nice apartment. We are thankful for that. In addition to that, a couple months ago, Lord blessed me with employment where I am able to. I knew that I needed to get employment, but I didn't want to get a job that would prevent me from being in the ministry of evangelism. Wouldn't be much faith for me to say that the Lord's called me into evangelism and then get a job that would prevent me from preaching meetings across the country. So the Lord has blessed me with a job that I can travel with for as long as I am in evangelism. It is a job where I teach English online to Chinese kids. And it pays well enough, and the hours are such to where it's just perfect. It's perfect for the ministry that we're in. I teach from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. every single morning, and then I can also get hours in the evening, pick up hours in the evening. And so it's just a huge blessing, the Lord, to provide that in the way that he did, in the timing that he did. It's a huge blessing to help us out as we establish our bearings in the ministry of evangelism. So, job, meetings. This next month, I have a couple meetings where I'm filling in for a church that is without a pastor. And then in July, we will have a meeting, a revival meeting, a four-day revival meeting in Maine. Yeah, Maine. So apparently this pastor heard of me as he opened up the Fundamentalist Digest. Don Jasmine, who writes the Fundamentalist Digest, put an advertisement in there for us. And so, you know, he saw that, called us up, and booked a meeting with us. So we praise the Lord for that. We are working on putting an advertisement in the Sword of the Lord, get our name out there, get pastors familiar with us. But that's still in the works and in the play. Okay, I think I covered everything. My wife is not here tonight. One of our babies is sick. Our little Nora is sick. Woke up with just a mess, nasty, disgusting mess. We don't want to talk about that. But that poor little kid is sick. And so Bethany, of course, it was wise for her to stay home tonight. And I don't know if you know this, but we are expecting another child. If you've seen Bethany lately, then that has been obvious. She is somewhere around the 26, 27, 28 weeks. The due date has been up in the air because of, you know, we haven't been able to determine the due date the way that they normally do. So we suspect that she will give birth sometime the end of June. And we are expecting a little girl. Her name will be Ella Eve. Ella Eve Pratt will be our next little girl, provided that the Lord continues to bless with good health there. So I'll pray for my wife as she always seems to be pregnant. All right, we are in this evening Romans chapter 3. I want you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. You're going to park there for a little while, and then I'm going to try to catch up to you. We're going to speak this evening on the blood of Jesus Christ. And before we go any further, once you arrive in Romans chapter 3, you arrive there. I'm going to pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would help me to preach as a dying man to dying men, that you would help us to just gain a greater appreciation for the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there is a soul here that does not know you, that today will be the day of salvation. We pray for these things in your name. Amen. You know, the common theme throughout this blessed old book, if you could take a common theme and tie the whole book of all the books of the Bible together, that theme that we find throughout Scripture is the blood. And if there's any theme that is in the Scriptures, if we should have a theme that's common throughout Scriptures, then we should have a theme that's common in our churches. Our churches, the foundation for our churches, the very heartbeat of our churches, ought to be the blood. We have a bloody book, this Bible. We find the blood mentioned 447 times. The word blood is mentioned. We have a bloody salvation. And we have many churches in this day and age who are afraid to voice from the pulpit the blood. We have many Bible versions in English that scratch out that word, the blood. We have many churches in this day and age that are afraid to sing songs about the blood. And as a Christian who is saved from an eternity in the lake of fire, there is nothing more precious, there's nothing more sweet than the blood of Jesus Christ. 447 times it's mentioned in this book. The Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we're not just talking about science there, though scientifically that is true. We're talking about spiritually. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all doomed and in death and will be in death for eternity. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We find Old Testament saints shedding blood as a foreshadowing of the picture that was to come, which was to be the shedding of the blood of God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. We sing songs about the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. Wash me white as snow. There is power in the blood. When I survey the wondrous cross, seep from his head, from his hands, from his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did if such love and sorrow meet, or such a thorn compose a crown? The blood of Jesus Christ. We find in Revelation chapter 1, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And chapter 7, verse 14, and I said unto him, as he's looking on these martyrs, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, you inside your soul, there's darkness. The Bible says that ye were sometimes darkness, black, sickness, our souls without the blood of Jesus Christ are nothing but darkness. But the Bible says that our souls can be washed in the blood of Jesus to be cleansed, white as snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Revelation 12:1, and they overcame him. Who's that? The accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Chapter 5, verse 9 says, and they sung a new song. I like singing the old hymns, but I'm looking forward to that day when we sing a new song in heaven. And listen to the lyrics of this new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You see, for all eternity, we're going to be singing praises to the Lamb that was slain. We're going to be talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to be singing about the blood of Jesus Christ for all eternity. It is the theme of our church. It is the central tenet of our church. And it ought to be the very central tenet of our lives. The blood of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian here this morning, then you remember that time when you were washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're a Christian here this morning that's right with God, then you understand the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ each and every day. As you confess your sins, we understand that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does He cleanse us? Through the blood. Through the blood. It is the very central tenet of our lives. And I am afraid, my brothers and sisters, that we sometimes grow cold to the blood, unappreciative of the blood. We sing songs like, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Not by works that I have done. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. And we sing them cold. Forgetting the power that is in the blood. Forgetting the sacrifice that was made. The love involved in the sacrifice that was made. Growing cold and unappreciative of the blood of Jesus Christ. I think in order to get an understanding and a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, its potency, its preciousness, we need to understand who we are in the eyes of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. And by the way, lest you point your finger and cast your finger and your blame on another person, your judgment on another person, you need to understand that Romans chapter 3 is talking about you and me. Talking about those who need to be redeemed by the blood. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is a description. That is a description of you and me, but by the grace of God, that is a description of who we are in the eyes of God. God, when He looks at sin, He has a repugnance for sin. It stinks in the eyes of God. And we're not talking about a stinking like like you and I hold our noses and we're like, wow, that stinks. We're talking about something that stinks so much in the eyes of God that he would create a place called hell, that he would create a lake of fire, and that that would be the penalty for our sins. A lake of fire for all eternity, a penalty that you and I could never come to the depths of comprehension of how sore of a punishment that is. A holy God looks at you and me, sees sin worthy of eternity in a lake of fire. This is fact. Habakkuk 1:12, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Psalm 106:40, there was the wrath of God, of the Lord kindled against his people, and so much that he abhorred his own inheritance. Matthew 7:23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That's a big tongue twister, ladies and gentlemen, this evening. Many of you know these verses. Many of you have heard these verses. Understanding that we're all under sin and worthy of the judgment of in a lake of fire for all eternity. Many of you have heard it from a young age. You remember it. You know the story. You can quote it better than I can. You understand that we're all born under sin, worthy of the lake of fire for all eternity. You understand that we could never mix grace and works together. That if you're sitting here this morning and there's just 0.1% inside of your mind that says, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, but I also believe that I got to do a little bit to keep that salvation. If that is your thinking inside of your heart this evening, look up here at me, look at me, look at me. If that is your thinking this evening, the Bible says that you are lost and on your way to hell. I'm not trying to be mean, but this is the fact of Scripture. So what the Bible has to say. The Bible has to say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, that he shed his very own blood for my soul and your soul, that if we believe with a repentance kind of faith, and we will spend all eternity in heaven. Amen. And if you're sitting here as a Christian, and I went through all of that, and you thought in your mind, I just wish you would get on really a salvation message on a Wednesday night. If these are the kinds of things that went on in your mind, I've heard it all before, Brother Aaron. This is not a Sunday morning. If those thoughts went through your mind, then there's something wrong with you. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. If that's where you're sitting this evening, then there's something wrong with how you look at the blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to love to hear the salvation message. You ought to love to hear the story of your salvation told. You ought to love to hear it. You ought to love to tell it. Hebrews chapter 10. Run with me there very quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 24, I'm going to go ahead and begin reading. You'll catch up. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In the Old Testament law, there were certain sins that you could commit that the penalty for those sins was a stoning, a death. Verse 29, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. There are some of you sitting here this evening, in the last week, today maybe, in the last month, you've made excuses for your sins. You've planned to commit sins. You've been presumptuous about the sins that you commit, saying, I can go ahead and do this and God will forgive me. And while God will forgive you, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While God will forgive the repentant and the penitent heart, you need to understand that if you are planning to commit sins and say, I will just ask for forgiveness later, you have trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. You have despised the Spirit of grace. You see, we are criticized, us eternal security people. We are criticized for being those who understand from the Bible that you can never lose your salvation. We are criticized from the other crowd as those who do despite to the grace of God. But if you really love the blood, if you really love the grace of God, then you understand what the grace of God teaches. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us, what does the grace of God teach us? Teaching us, the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The point of this message this evening, short time, but enough time, the perfect amount of time to bring to you what God has for you this evening. He has a very special appointment for you this evening. There's been no accident that you showed up here on a Wednesday night at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Is to just worship the Lord. The point of this evening is to just worship the Lord for the blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. When was the last time you got on your knees and thanked the Holy God for sending His Son to die for you? When was the last time that you gave honor and praise and glory for the blood of the Lamb? In a few moments, you're going to have the opportunity. Listen, you might not do it in this life, but if you're a Christian and you're saved for all eternity, you're going to be singing the praises of the blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Can't you show Him your love, your appreciation for making the ultimate sacrifice, something that He did not have to do, but chose to do out of love? The point of this message this evening is, I do not doubt that there is a Christian here who has trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, who has done despite unto His grace, who has made ways and excuses for his sin, understanding that God always forgives. My Christian, if that's your attitude, then there is a problem with your heart, and you need to get it settled and right tonight. Please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.